Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It is a daily tip on the BetMGM Network on a Tuesday. Good morning to you. Coming up, we get started with Monday Night Football, Cardinals and Big D. In 20 minutes, we'll continue with the pros and examine what we've seen after the midway point of the season. We'll continue with the NFL at 6:40, find out what's going on with the Colts and maybe the Indiana Hoosiers. That's when we bring in Kevin Bowen of The Fan Morning Show on 107.5 The Fan in Indy. I'm Jinx. She's Chelsea. Chelsea, good morning to you. How you doing?
Yeah, good morning. I was just thinking of how proud I was of myself for finding a way to watch Monday Night Football last night, despite still having YouTube TV. I don't know if you knew this, but on certain sports books that shall not be named, you can watch it live on your phone. So just a little insider tip.
Ooh.
And I was just thinking, I was like, Chelsea, you're so motivational. Look at you. When the going gets tough, the tough keep going, and that is you.
You did it. You did it.
I did it.
Look at Chelsea. Not me. Look at Chelsea, though. I'm still in the cold here, in the dark. When are these guys going to work this out?
Well, here's the problem, Jenks. They just billed us on the 30th. So even if we cancel now, we are paying through the end of the month. They did this on purpose.
I got to figure out something. And I tried over the weekend. I tried the whole, because I wanted to watch a Texas game, right? And that wasn't on. So I was like, how am I going to watch this? We ended up going to, of course, local tavern here because they had the game on, the official watch party. We got there at halftime and watched the rest of the game against Vandy. But I was like, okay, we can do the one-week trial on Fubo for a week or for a month. Well, guess what? I'd already tried that a couple years ago. So they were like, charge for you. And I was like, I'm not doing that. It's like $107, even more than YouTube TV. So I was in the dark last night. I was just following on X and watching as many clips as I could.
We need to give out like a spreadsheet or like a worksheet that has like all of the pitfalls to certain providers. Because me and Dan were talking, I didn't realize that Sling TV does not have Fox. Because I was thinking about getting Sling. Because Sling is cheaper, and I was like, oh, it has ESPN, it has MLB Network, but it doesn't have Big Fox. So, like, if there was a game that was in, like, the Big Ten, couldn't watch it. It's crazy.
Oh, my God. Remember the good old days when you cut the cord for the first time? Saved all that money? Not anymore. They got us all. And we can't even watch our favorite games. College football, Monday Night Football, I don't know what's going on. But I do see some good news in the rundown, and that is that you won your bet last night.
Yeah, good old reliable target share king. CeeDee Lamb over 82.5 receiving yards. I think he finished with like 84, so this one barely scraped by, but we will take our win because I thought that Dak Prescott would feed CeeDee Lamb all night, and that was pretty much the case. I was kind of surprised what we saw from the Cowboys offense, though. Like, I thought they would score more points. I thought this would be an easier win, but I will not complain. I will keep my mouth shut, and I will take my dub.
I like the fact that Denton went after some plus money yesterday. Had Trey McBride over 6.5 receptions. He had 3, and he parlayed that with CeeDee Lamb over 6.5 receptions. So CeeDee got his, had 7, so ends up being a loss. That's all right. Denton is still 3-1 over the past week. You are 1-0. I'm 0-0, and the Donkster 0-0 as well. So it's early in the week. Still a chance to make some money here on the show. Thanks for being with us here on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Well, let's get into what we saw last night in Big D, where the Cardinals handled the Cowboys 27-17. The Cards getting 3 points. They were plus 145 on the money line. Total set at 54. The under hits. Jacoby Brissett gets the start once again for an injured Kyler Murray, and he delivers.
First and goal from the 12. Brissett lets it fly. End zone, McBride, touchdown.
That's Joe Buck on ESPN. McBride, 5 catches, 55 yards in that score. Brissett goes 21 of 31, 261 yards, 2 touchdowns, including one to Marvin Harrison Jr., who catches 7 passes for 96 yards. And the Cards end a 5-game losing streak. If you could watch it, wow, it was a game.
Ah, well, I got to watch it on my phone on a tiny screen. But I will say this, Jacoby Brissett is doing a mighty fine job filling in for Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
And now it's really going to be a controversy because before this game, people thought, okay, Kyler Murray was hurt. Now he's not. He's going to play in this game. He did not play in this game. So I think people are surmising that maybe they are soft benching him. I think that's the term that they're using, which I've never heard before, but I think it means like he's not actually hurt and they're actually just going with Jacoby Brissett. So I don't know if that's the case, but this game was not good for not fueling that fire.
I hate when they come out with these new terms. You're being benched. If you're not playing and you're healthy, you're being benched, like a soft bench. Hey, man, just, you know, just go over there. We'll put a pad down for you. You know, we'll get you some cocoa. It's a soft bench. Take it easy, okay? It's not a hard bench over there. We're not putting you over there on the hard wood. You know, you're going to get splinters in your butt or something. It's a soft bench. If he's being benched, he's being benched because he's not getting it done.
Right. But they won't admit this. And they asked him after the game. And, of course, everybody had these, like, you know, sly answers where they didn't answer anything. And I'll say this. Like, Jacoby Brissett has no business, like, answering this. So, like, he's in the clear. Like, because all he can do is control himself. But when you're the head coach, it does leave you wondering why the face of your franchise, whether you like it or not, is not playing in these games. So we will see. But this had to be a big win for a Cardinals franchise that was absolutely scuffling.
Yeah. I love Jonathan Gannon after the game. His quote was, this is great. Yeah, I was inside the shower wondering, how did I let this happen? NFL coaches are just like the rest of us, you know? I just don't know. How'd we get here? 5 straight losses, my God. But that's probably the most interesting thing out of Arizona that we've heard this season is that they might have a quarterback controversy. But ultimately, this is not a great team, and then neither is Dallas. But Brissett was good last night.
Yeah, if only anyone cared about the quarterback situation in Arizona. I will say this, for you know all the contract disputes going on between YouTube TV and ESPN, this was like not a great game to be like, you guys need this. You guys need to be watching Monday Night Football, because on the other side of the coin, Dallas had a really sloppy game. Three turnovers in this game, 6 penalties when it came to their offense, I believe. And I think this was the most disappointing part, is that usually the Cowboys can string together a lot of points. Usually it's their defense that is the weakest link. And the defense was bad again last night. But the offense wasn't that great. Like, every time they got the ball, they just couldn't find a rhythm. Like, late in the game, you know, they started to put it together, but too little, too late. Only 17 points. A little disappointing for Dak Prescott and company.
Yeah, it is. And they just could not convert inside the Arizona 25. Their first 3 drives of the game, they got inside, close to the red zone, and they went 0-for-3. Mm-hmm. So Dak got sacked 5 times, and then not only that, they went 0-for-3 on 4th down. So this is an offense that was great until they needed to be great, and then they faltered in a big way. So I don't know what to think about the Cowboys. I feel like the book on them is sort of written this season. They'll have their games where they explode and score a lot of points. But ultimately, this is a team that probably needs to make a trade, but probably won't make a trade, or maybe they will. We're going to get into that because Jerry Jones is sending us mixed signals. But the Cowboys, man, if they had any semblance of a defense, they might be able to do something. But last night it was the offense that ended up being the one thing that they just could not get going.
Right. And remember, like, 7 of their points came from a special team touchdown.
Yeah.
So, you know, not all 17 of the points came from the offense even. So I don't know, especially when you have this receiver core that has probably one of the top receiver duos in the entire NFL, and CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. You would think that that is a duo that would be impossible to stop. But last night, they just weren't great on 3rd down, 5 of 12, 0 of 3 on 4th downs. And we know they're going to go for it, but still, it just was one of those things where they couldn't string together good drives. And then conversely, what a game from Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
Jinx, I think a lot of people have been waiting for this. at least in the fantasy sector, and of course, Marvin Harrison Jr.'s dad, who they talked about on the broadcast, giving him pointers throughout the season, and we finally saw it. 7 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. Again, if people cared about the Cardinals, I think this would be a much bigger story.
Yes, and good for Marvin Harrison Jr., because remember early on, he was just struggling just to hold on to the football. And so last night he had that one move where he got into the end zone. They cut away to CeeDee Lamb, and he's like, ooh, okay. Because he kind of jogged and made a quick cut and then caught the touchdown. So good on him. He definitely needed that, a season-high 7 catches for Marvin Harrison Jr. So I mentioned this when it comes to Jerry Jones. Have they made a trade? Have the Cowboys made a trade or not? We don't know. Because Jerry Jones said to a couple of media outlets yesterday, including 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, that, yeah, the Cowboys have made a move.
Because everybody knows it's subject to tomorrow. You can't have a trade done if you haven't gotten it done. Okay? So we'll see what goes tomorrow. I've told you, and I didn't say. I said we were going to have a trade that'll be consummated tomorrow. That's what I said.
Okay. So he said, we've got a trade. It's going to be consummated. That just tells you the mind of Jerry Jones. We're going to consummate a trade. Okay, Jerry, let's consummate that trade. And now he's walking it back and saying, well, maybe, after the loss last night. So generally, if a trade is made, if it's completed in the National Football League, you hear it from someone within the organization, Adam Schefter, someone from NFL Network, Ian Rappaport, someone is in the know because someone represents the players being traded and gets this out to the media. Oftentimes, these reports get out before the players themselves know. But we haven't heard a whisper, but Jerry knows about a trade that has taken place. Maybe he's been able to keep it quiet. I don't think so. I think Jerry is confused.
I think Jerry Jones is doing this for attention. Color me shocked that Jerry Jones is trying to drum up attention for a trade that possibly doesn't even exist. Because hasn't he done this before where he tried to like lead people on and say, oh, we're going to make a blockbuster trade. And I don't even remember who they traded for. Like, do you remember this? Like when he said that and we're like, oh, they're going to get Derrick Henry. They did not get Derrick Henry. They got somebody else. And I can't even remember his name at the point. So it's one of those things where it feels like he is doing this to drive media attention because obviously, the Cowboys do not have much else in their tool belt right now other than being a media sideshow. So I think that he just did this for attention.
That's probably right. I think Jerry's just bored. He's just bored. He's like, well, we're not making the playoffs this year. It takes some sort of incredible run. Now I got nothing else going on. Maybe I'll talk about a trade. Probably a trade in his head that went down that never actually went down. This is not... I will apologize to Jerry Jones tomorrow, and I'll be like, Jerry, I'm sorry. I doubted you, man. You had a trade in place, and nobody found out. This is just Jerry kind of speaking off the cuff, and I'm not quite sure that I think he knows what he's talking about, but I also think at some point, you know, it's easy to say, okay, Jerry's this evil genius, right? He knows how to drive the headlines. He knows how to get people's attention, and he does. He absolutely does. But I also think there's a point when you're just kind of talking and you're not really thinking about what you're saying, especially if you've been around for a long time and there's really no depth to what you're saying. You're just kind of speaking out of turn with no thought about what you're really communicating here. And I kind of feel like that's where Jerry is.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is that even if they do make a trade, this is a team that is way more than one trade away from being a contender. Like, I think that's the bottom line.
Right.
If this was any other team and their owner was like, hey, we're going to make a trade, people are like, whoa, the Titans are going to make a trade. Woo! No one would care. So it's partly our own fault for running with this and being like, oh, Jerry Jones said they're going to make a trade. Because it's just not a good Cowboys team altogether. Like, the defense needs more than one piece. And listen, they had a great defensive player, and they traded him away. His name was Micah Parsons. And listen, even that team last year that had Micah Parsons still had problems on the defensive side of things. So I just feel like at the end of the day, it does not matter.
No, I don't think it matters either. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Why would you make one trade right now for a team that isn't really going anywhere? It's not like the Cowboys need a player or two and all of a sudden they're a contender. They're not. They're not. Mm-hmm. They have multiple holes on defense. They traded away Micah Parsons. So if you're trading away Micah and you were going to somehow fill his spot, you needed to do it much earlier. And we heard, okay, maybe they'll go after Max Crosby or someone like that. They haven't done it. The time to do it was earlier before they got in this hole. So I feel like this is just Jerry being Jerry, and they're not going to do anything. And this is going to be much ado about nothing.
Right, because there are so many other teams in the NFC that are so much better than them, and they stand at 3-5-1. So it is going to be an uphill climb, no matter how you slice it for the Cowboys, and no matter what fantasy trade is going down in Jerry Jones' head.
No telling. Let's consummate the trade. Jerry. That is the midway point of the NFL season. Which teams are we buying? Which ones are we selling? We'll talk about that coming up next to the Daily Tip. It is here on the BetMGM Network. Stay right there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. A Tuesday? Is that right? Tulsa, keep me straight here. It's a Tuesday. All right. One for one today. Great to have you with us on the Daily Tip on a BetMGM Network. Coming up on the show, midway point of the season, we'll tell you which teams we are feeling with playoff positioning in full swing. So I was not here yesterday. I didn't get to ask you about your Halloween. I'm late to the party. How did it go?
It was good. So we got to do everything we wanted to do. Blake got to trick-or-treat around the neighborhood with our neighbors, which was fun. And then we got to go to the Halloween party and get some of Jan's famous chili, which absolutely delivered. The hype was absolutely there. But it was amazing, and I had two bowls of it, and it was great.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I want some of Jan's chili. Best thing about chili is it'll last you like 2 weeks if you want it to. You just like put it in the fridge and just dump some. I mean, I know you're like 2 weeks. It's a long time. But chili will. Oh, okay, man, that's too long. But at least a week. You put chili in like a big bowl in the refrigerator. You can just like scoop out like a couple scoops of chili. It'll last. Put all sorts of stuff on it. Like, you've been talking about chili for 2 weeks on this show, and I love chili, and I haven't had any. I don't want to order chili. It's not the same. But I might make some. You might convince me that if I can make anything, it's chili.
Well, let me send you a crock pot. Like, you need to invest in a crock pot. They are not that expensive, and you just dump a bunch of stuff in. It's really not that hard. And it's nice because I don't know if you have turned this corner like I have. Okay. Where I am way more productive in the mornings as opposed to at night.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, but I hit a wall at like 7 o'clock. I don't want to cook. So the thing about a crock pot is you do all the prep in the morning when you're feeling good and energetic. And so by the time the night rolls around, you don't have to do anything, which I think is a very added bonus for people who are on this schedule.
Oh, that's true. Oh, I got to tell you, you'll appreciate this. So when we dressed up for Halloween, we came so close to everything faltering because Catherine had to make her lantern fly costume. And she ordered all the stuff from Amazon, got there day of. And Catherine can sew. Like, she can work a sewing machine, which is how she put this together. But the sewing machine broke. And so we're like 2 hours. Oh, my God. I could see her head about to explode because she needed a sewing machine to put this together. And, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been around a sewing machine. I don't know how this thing works. Like, this is like going back in time. And she's talking about how to operate this, operate that. I'm like, what can I do to help? And she's like, nothing, this isn't working. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to just throw a sheet on and be ghosts tonight. It's going to be awful. Then at the last second, this sewing machine started working. We got it together. And those wings that she had on as part of her lantern fly costume, we won like most creative. And then I swear to God, as we took the award, like, the left wing, like, flopped off, and I was, like, holding it up. Like, we walked out of the bar, we won, and we're walking down the street, and just because, I mean, we'd been walking around, or she'd been walking around with those all night. Like, the wings like fell off. It was just like perfect timing. Like, oh my God, escape by. It was that close.
Ah, they gave their all for that costume.
They did.
They waited until the costume contest was over to fall apart, which is actually probably very similar to any store-bought costume that would have cost you $120. Same quality.
Yeah. This was just like some material and some sweat equity and some thread, and it ended up working out. What is going to happen in the NFL? Which teams will it work out for at the midway point of the season? Let's talk about the NFC first. So in the NFC, the Rams and Eagles are 4-1. The Lions are plus 450. The Packers are also plus 450. Seahawks plus 650. The Buccaneers are 11-1. So the NFC is super interesting because of all these different teams, and you can make a case for almost all of them that I mentioned. How do you feel about the Packers after what we saw against Carolina? It's really tough because when you see a disappointing loss like that, you have to take a step back and say, okay, total season here, not one game, not a game. I mean, Lions lost as well. Mm-hmm. But how do you feel about Green Bay? I mean, losing to Carolina at home is just, that's a bad loss.
That was a big win in our household. Jake was very happy. Panthers fan. But let me say this. It feels like there are very few teams in the NFL this year where you look at them and you're like, okay, they don't have any bad losses. They have been completely consistent all year and have looked especially dominating. Because like we've seen the Bills lose to the Falcons. We've seen the Lions lose to the Vikings. The Packers have done this on multiple occasions. They tied the Cowboys. I don't know what that was all about. But still, it's one of those things. I just think it shows the parity of the league. And I'm not ready to just throw them out on the pavement and say, you guys suck. So I still believe in the Packers a little bit. I just think it's more wide open than I would have expected in the NFC.
Yeah.
And Jenks, let me ask you this. Were you surprised to see that the Rams have the shortest odds to win the NFC?
Yeah.
That kind of shocked me.
It shocked me too. I'm like, the Rams, I mean, they're up there. We've been saying all season long, like, don't sleep on the Rams, don't sleep on the Rams. And I think finally Vegas is like, hey, don't sleep on the Rams. They're well coached. They can play. They looked awesome. Matthew Stafford was just out of his mind this weekend. I know it was the Saints, but still, they're a complete team. And I think coaching matters in such a big way. All things being equal, don't you end up trusting a coach who has been there, done that, won it all, who has for a long time now established himself as one of the best coaches in the NFL, and you have great quarterback play. That's massive as well. That tends to be a common theme as well. So I was a little surprised, that said. I thought they might be below the Eagles and Lions, maybe hovering there with Packers, Seahawks. So to see the Rams tie with the Eagles, definitely surprising to me.
Yeah, it makes me a little sad because it feels like the Rams are normally a team that you get a lot of value on. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, this is a brand I normally find at TJ Maxx, and it is a bargain. And so it's very easy to justify making a case for the Rams. But now, it ain't no bargain, no mo. Feels like you're paying full price for this Rams team now. So I feel like maybe wait around and see if this price drops or price increases. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is that, like, I don't want to bet on them when they're the favorites. Because they do have the Niners coming up, which we know they usually play them pretty tough. They already beat them once this season. The Seahawks are a tough team. Then they have the Bucks. So that's going to be a good stretch where maybe the Rams will lose a game. And I understand it sounds strange to be like, hey, if I want to bet on a team, I want them to lose. Mm-hmm. But you will get a better price. So I think it's one of those wait and see things that in the futures market, most of it's about timing. So the timing just is not now for me when it comes to the Rams.
How do you feel about the Seahawks? I mean, I think the Seahawks are damn good. And full disclosure, yeah, they whipped up on the Commanders. That was, God, talk about depressing around here. It's like walking through a thick fog in D.C.
Tough Monday.
Woof. Let's check in with Denton. Oh, are you eating, Denton? Oh, don't worry about it.
I'm dead inside.
That's all. Mm-hmm. He's like, one and done. I mean, sheesh. Whatever. But this is not just what they did to the Commanders. Like, all season long, the Seahawks are a really complete team, and they're well coached, and their defense is nasty. And Sam Darnold and the Commanders defense had a lot to do with this. Was just playing out of his mind. Perfect in the first half. He looked all world. Seattle, I think Seattle has sort of taken the place. They've supplanted the Rams as that team that if you're looking for value on a team that could make a run, that looks really good right now. Maybe it's Seattle, but even the Seahawks are plus, what, 650 here?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not that much value.
Yeah, that's
it
true.
It wasn't the value that we got 2 weeks ago. But I think the tough part for the Seahawks is that they will have to go head-to-head with the Rams to win the NFC West, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so only one of those teams will get home field advantage. Like, it would be so huge if the Seahawks get home field advantage in the playoffs because we know how good their home crowd is in Seattle. But if the odds makers are like, hey, the Rams are the better team, and they still have two games head-to-head, so we'll see. So I will say this. If you believe in the Seahawks and you think you know, they can go head-to-head with the Rams, maybe the better bet is for them to win the NFC West. I would need to check on the odds there, but I don't think they're that far behind the Rams. I think the only selling point for me for the Rams as opposed to the Seahawks is the postseason experience.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about postseason bets, it's a little different than winning a division because obviously those are regular season games. Because when it comes down to it, obviously you have to trust Matt Stafford, you have to trust Sean McVay, and you don't necessarily have to trust Sam Darnold. And I know that that feels unfair because it is a limited sample size. It's just one of those things where postseason experience, it's like until you have it, it's very easy to point and be like, hey,
yeah,
I trust you in the regular season, but not so sure about the postseason.
I think Sam Darnold is damn good, honestly. I know he hasn't had that postseason success that people want to see, but like any other quarterback, any other team in the NFL, sometimes you got to take a couple lumps before you get over the hump and then you start having success. And I think this is the year that he's maybe going to do it. I just love guys who break narratives. It's so fascinating to me when someone takes a journey and they're pigeonholed as a certain player or a certain coach or a team that does this. And then they say, all right, now I'm going to force you to pay attention because of how I'm playing. And he has a team around him playing really well right now. So he's a guy I think that finally is starting to turn that narrative around. I mean, he has somewhat, but people still say, oh, yeah, but look at the Vikings in the playoffs. You know what I mean? People still want to find a way to lean into that. It's kind of like with Daniel Jones and the Colts, right? So he's had a fantastic season, but then he has a bad performance against the Steelers. And people say, see, it's Daniel Jones. Like, they don't get the leeway that other quarterbacks get.
Well, I do think you have to earn your postseason stripes, though.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we do that with a lot of quarterbacks because I think some people have said this, a very select few, about Justin Herbert. Because, Jenks, I think we both trusted the Chargers in the playoffs last year. They looked like a great regular season team, and then they go against the Texans, and Justin Herbert, like, turns into a pumpkin. So I understand he's not, like, a hot-button quarterback where people are always debating about him. It feels like he is safe from, like, most of the discord because people are like, oh, well, Justin Herbert's really good and people don't care about the Chargers that much. But my point being is that I do think you kind of have to prove it in the postseason before we just automatically give you credit.
Oh, I agree. I just think it's, I guess what I'm saying is you're totally right. It's just that some quarterbacks are automatically kind of given that credit for being a good quarterback, even though they haven't had postseason success, whereas other quarterbacks are not. What I mean by that is this. Like, Kirk Cousins has had a great career in the NFL, right? But he hasn't done anything in the playoffs. Justin Herbert has had a great career in the NFL. He hasn't done anything in the playoffs. Sam Darnold has had a great couple seasons in the National Football League, but people wouldn't even dare to think, oh, I might classify him as a really good quarterback. What's the first thing they do? They want to lean into that old narrative and say, yeah, but he hasn't won anything in the playoffs. People don't immediately jump to that when they talk about Justin Herbert or Kirk Cousins because they've had this long period of sustained success. It's just a long way of saying that when you are stuck in a certain narrative or painted into a certain corner, people will look for ways to keep you in that corner, even if that doesn't necessarily apply to other quarterbacks in the NFL.
I wonder if Vikings fans would agree with you when it comes to Kirk Cousins, because you're right about Justin Herbert, but I don't know. I don't think Kirk Cousins has a great narrative attached to him when it comes to the postseason, but the bottom line is that you can be a great regular season quarterback, and you can bet on the quarterback in that regard without having to make the jump, because look at how much money Kirk Cousins made being, you know, quote unquote, a bad playoff quarterback. Like, you can still win a ton of games in the NFL and put your team in a great position to make the playoffs and be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that it matters too much, but maybe for me, I still think Sam Darnold probably needs to earn it, but you can still bet on them to win the NFC West if you believe in the Seahawks.
I do. I like Seattle. I mean, I didn't like what they did on Sunday night. Okay, guys. Didn't appreciate
James,
that.
Can I ask you? Can I ask you the big question?
Yeah.
That it feels like I saw on all the talk shows yesterday?
Okay.
Because you weren't here yesterday, and I feel like it's definitely a big deal when, like, the national narrative is about this. Because I thought it was a big deal, but I was like, okay, well, you know, hindsight is 20/20. Do you think Dan Quinn deserves some blame for keeping Jaden Daniels in the game?
Yes, I do. And he took the blame yesterday. He took it. He said it's on me. He said he missed it. And he made a really good point, which is, look, the plays they were calling were either going to be runs or passes, right? These read-run plays where you either hand it off, you throw it in the flat, whatever it is. But he didn't take into account, well, if Jaden is under pressure, then he's going to take off. He can run. He's a pocket quarterback, but he can run. And he said, I missed that aspect of the game. We were going to take him out next drive, but that game was way out of hand. Sam Darnold was out of the game. Why would you leave your franchise quarterback in that game against that defense? And Dan Quinn, I will say, full credit, owned up to it and said it's 100% on me. And frankly, I think it was.
Ah, that's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Because no matter how many times he apologizes, it's not going to bring Jaden Daniels back.
And it is not.
Part.
It is not. And I mean, he's done for the season. Not officially. He didn't break any bones yesterday as far as the MRI is concerned. So that's good news. But someone was making the case to me that he can still play. It's his non-throwing arm. I was like, listen, you're not throwing this guy back out there with this team in this moment. No, not at all. So I'd be stunned if for some reason he came back. There's really no reason for him to. Coming up next show of the show, latest on the Colts after that loss in Pittsburgh. So we'll bring in Kevin Bowen of the Fan Morning Show on 107.5 in Indianapolis. He is next on the Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Well, we're very lucky. It's not normal this early in the show that we get to anger Chelsea by talking about one of her least favorite teams. Oh, yeah. We got to talk about the Indianapolis Colts, the arch rival of the Tennessee Titans. But the Colts, a fascinating case this year, having a great season despite that loss to the Steelers. So to talk about it, we bring in Kevin Bowen from the Fan Morning Show on 107.5 in Indianapolis. Kevin, good morning to you. And we were talking about narratives in the previous segment. And so when you see, for example, a bad outing from Daniel Jones, do you say, oh my God, here we go again, this is the old Daniel Jones? Or do you say, he's had a great season, it's one bad game? That's what happens in the NFL.
Yeah, I think when you're 9 weeks into it and you start 7-1 to the levels that Daniel Jones played, I think you've earned a little bit benefit of the doubt. And
yeah,
you know, for those that, you know, watch all 60 minutes of that on Sunday, I think the root of it was the offensive line. By no means I think Daniel Jones played well, but I think so much of it was just kind of started up front and some breakdowns, particularly in pass protection, inability to get Jonathan Taylor going. But, yeah, again, I think obviously the back of his baseball card would indicate there's a little bit more to, you know, Roller Coaster Nation. But here in 2025 with the Colts, I think he's earned benefit of the doubt that one game doesn't define him.
I think the big question that a lot of us have is that, can we trust the Colts in the postseason? Because I think we've seen this before where there's been a team that's good in the regular season, but then things start to crumble in the postseason. I do think you have to earn your stripes when it comes to postseason experience. But still, all of the numbers for this Colts team, like whether it's the defense, it's the offense scoring over 30 points a game, The numbers fly off the page, but can we trust them in the postseason?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair question, certainly one that I have. And, you know, typically in the NFL world, there's a little bit of a kind of stepping ladder to playoff success. Mm-hmm. I think back to Andrew Luck, and, you know, they made it his rookie year. The next year they won one game. The next year they won two games. You know, it took Peyton Manning 6 years to win a playoff game. You know, those sorts of, you know, quarterbacks, you maybe wouldn't think of it in that light there. And obviously when you look at the AFC as a whole, you know, weirdly right now, it's like the wild card has got all the proven quarterbacks, you know, with where Allen is. And, you know, even Justin Herbert has some playoff experience. Patrick Mahomes is just a team out from, you know, being in the postseason as well. So, yeah, I think that's a January bridge that, you know, the Colts will likely have to cross. And there are some playoff guys on their roster, but, you know, for the most part, it is a team and a head coach that hasn't experienced a lot of that with this iteration. You know, Shane Steichen obviously experienced it in Philly, and, you know, Daniel Jones has won a road playoff game. But still, I think doing it in the AFC, you know, over the course of 4 months, I think is a different animal.
Kevin, how much credit do you give to Shane Steichen for the job he's done? Because it feels like he has pulled this team together and really not just surprised all of us, but has them playing pretty solid complementary football this year.
Yeah, it's on. I mean, I think you have to start with the offense. I mean, as you guys mm-hmm. mentioned, the numbers are rather historic in what they've done. Just tremendous balance all season long. Yes, they've invested a lot into that side of the ball, but still, to be putting up the consistent numbers of at least 20 points in all nine games, you know, really stuff we never saw Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning do, let alone other teams around the NFL. That's pretty eye-popping, to say the least. And then they did make a move defensively. It hasn't been perfect by any means this season on that side of the ball, but, you know, he did part ways with Gus Bradley, one of his, you know, I think closer friends in the coaching business, and they made a pretty big systematic change defensively with Lou Anarumo coming over. And again, it hasn't been smooth sailing, but I think there has been improvement enough on that side of the ball to where there has been more complimentary moments, and it is the reason why the Colts are 7-2.
Have you had any interactions with Carly Ursay Gordon? She is so fascinating to me. And I know she made waves when she started, you know, going on the sidelines and wearing the headsets. But this Colts team is, you know, trucking. It's moving along. It's having a great season. How much of that do you think is on her shoulders, or do you think it's a non-story? I think she's fascinating, so I just wanted to hear your take on her.
Yeah, I would certainly agree on the fascinating part. I mean, you know, for those that haven't been maybe totally plugged into the Colts, she has been on the sidelines now for the last several seasons. You know, I would say a little bit over a decade ago, she was really full throttle and, you know, realizing at some point the torch was going to be passed, primarily, I think, from Jim Ursay, her father, to her as the oldest daughter. There are three of them, but I think she's, you know, the most heavily involved from a day-to-day operational standpoint. And I think it first kind of became on the business side of the operation, and then, you know, slowly I think more of that football background and just really trying to be as big of a sponge as she can has been there. And she shows up in, you know, meetings. She's at every practice seemingly that we're at. I mean, I don't recall many times seeing owners across really a ton of professional sports be as present as she is. You know, players have talked about even going back to the COVID year, like they would, you know, pop on a, you know, positional Zoom meeting, and all of a sudden they look at the attendees and there's your owner as one of them in there. So I thought her explanation to, you know, talking about wearing the headset on the sidelines was, you know, pretty accurate. When you think about it, you know, when are these coaches the rawest? It's probably game day. It's probably within that 60-minute, you know, battle, if you will. So, you know, getting the chance to hear the raw emotions on the headset, it might help you better identify, wow, you know, insert coach here has really made some strong recommendations now several weeks in a row and it's worked, or vice versa. And, you know, Carly pointed out, when I'm handing millions of dollars out to these coaches, I probably want as much background information as possible. So, again, she's been very, very homework-based and trying to learn more and more. And unfortunately, her father passed this year, and it probably sped up that process a little bit more. But, yeah, she has been front and center now for several years, and I think now the whole NFL world is kind of getting to see it a little bit more.
Kevin, before we let you go, what is your take on the Indiana Hoosiers? How good is this football team? Because I think we've all come around to saying, all right, this is a nice story, too. This team can win a national title.
Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah. You would have told me 24 months ago, I'd be going on a radio station at 6:47 in the morning, and they'd be asking me about IU football and using the phrase national championship. I would have said that's one of the funnier statements that I've ever heard. I went to IU, full transparency. In my 4 years there, they won 3 Big Ten games. This year, they've won 3 Big Ten games by at least 45 points. So it's amazing. I tweeted out after the Oregon game. I don't think it's hyperbole at all. I think the Kurt Cignetti coaching job is one of the greatest jobs in sports, period. Mm-hmm. College, pro, I don't care the sport. I mean, IU football was the joke, the butt of all jokes. And he has come in there, and maybe he came in there at the right time, you know, from a portal standpoint and a little bit of NIL backing because they have a huge alumni base. But, you know, he's doing a lot of this with his James Madison players, which is also, you know, pretty darn impressive as well. So it is absolutely amazing. And, again, it's a story that I think deserves all the national attention. I think Kurt Cignetti has a bit of that bravado and personality to create some of that as well.
He is hosting the Fan Morning Show on 107.5 in Indianapolis. It's our friend Kevin Bowen. Kevin, thank you so much.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Man, how good must he be feeling right now? He's got his morning show in Indianapolis, and he's an Indiana alum, and the Colts are playing well. Woo! That's nirvana right there.
Yeah, and then they had the Pacers, what was it, last year?
Mm-hmm.
And they had the Indiana Fever, which I know Caitlin Clark got hurt, but like still, the buzz in the sports world for Indiana is huge right now. And it's wild to me that IU basketball is really not a part of that. Like I haven't checked the preseason rankings, and maybe this year is different. It's just usually that is the staple in college basketball, and it's a basketball school, you know, when you look at Indiana. But the times, they are a-changing.
I got to get my head right. Now we got college basketball underway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it, but it just like hit me in the face because I was so into the World Series, you know? And of course, the NBA is underway.
Poor one out.
I know. Poor one out. And the Jays and Dodgers. And I'm like, wait a second. And then I got an alert on my phone this morning about the Auburn basketball game last night. I'm like, wait, what is? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Duke and Texas tonight. Thank you for reminding me, Double D. Like, I'm just lost, like, trying to find my way. This sports equinox that we had a week ago. I mean, it's awesome, but, man, it kind of makes my head spin because when you get so – I think we were so into, like, World Series, World Series, World Series. Now that I'm stepping out of that fog, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's other things going on.
A little part of me dies every time I realize we don't have baseball to
play anymore. I know.
That makes me very sad. But we talked about this yesterday and the fact that I don't really want to bet on college basketball until we kind of see a little bit of a sample size. Because think about the turnover that we have like in college football with the portal. Now think about college basketball, who was like the OG of the portal.
Yeah.
Where people are transferring teams all the time. There's only 5 guys on the court. And half the time, these coaches don't even know the rotations until January. So it's one of those sports where I am going to wait on the sidelines and watch a few games before I start venturing into putting my money on it.
I'm very excited about the time when I'll say, Chelsea, who do you like tonight? And you say, well, I'm looking at Belmont. Those are my favorite days.
You know it. It's coming.
It's coming. It's just a matter of time. And I was looking at NBA plays yesterday. I'm like, oh, my God, where am I? What's going on? Early season NBA, I feel like, is really tough. Like early season NBA is tough. And I mean, so is college, but especially NBA. I don't know why. I feel like NBA is the toughest of all, at least for me personally, of all the sports to bet on. I feel like NBA is the one where I'm like, oh man, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, because it's the first month of the season.
Yeah.
And this injury list for the entire NBA.
It's wild.
It's like a who's who. It's like, oh, Luka Doncic, questionable. Oh, Trae Young, he's out for 11 weeks. So every time I think I have like a good lead on a play, it's like, oh, LaMelo Ball, questionable.
Right.
So that's why people, I think, kind of dislike the NBA during the regular season because we never know who's going to be playing.
That is true. It is guesswork each and every single night, which is why, what am I going to do tonight? I don't know. I don't even have a pick yet. This might be one of those wild basketball soccer parlays. That might be where I go. Coming up next in the show, we'll begin our second hour. We'll bring in Double D and D-Day for a little Take Tuesday and kind of get things going here. Thanks for waking up with us. That's Chelsea Messenger. I'm Michael Jenkins. It is the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. We're live across the country from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the East, and we keep it going. Next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.